Hello, this is Matt Schlick from the Matt Schlick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Once a world champion wrestler, now a champion for Christ. Once the Russian nightmare, now the devil's worst nightmare. And your tag team partner, Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up.
Welcome back to another episode of the Man Up Show. Nikita Koloff, the devil's nightmare here, and I am excited about my guest today. You know, I was looking up some of his credentials, and I realized if I were to list everything this man has accomplished already, that would take an entire show in and of itself. So I'm going to try to condense this down. And my guest today, you might recognize, once I introduce him and say his name, you might recognize him from the movie God's Not Dead as Professor Jeffrey Radisson. You might recognize him from the television series Hercules with his ripped physique back in the day, and I know he still keeps himself in shape now. Of course, with those two little hints, it's just such a pleasure to have Kevin Sorbo on the Man Up Show today. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. It's good to reconnect after so many years.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, I want to give our listeners a little backstory on that, what you just said, reconnect. And actually, yeah, doing the math, and I'm no MIT graduate, but doing the math, 39 years from when you and I donned the same college campus, 39 years later, we connect.
That's a little scary. I hate saying it. It's worse to see that number in writing.
Yeah, well, exactly, and we're only really a few months apart in age, so we're really about the same age. But Kevin, I've got to tell. I'm just trying to do this quickly. I got to tell this backstory of a few years back where, you know, I get the MSU alumni newsletter, right? The Morehead State University. That's Morehead, Minnesota, not Minnesota, not Kentucky. But I get the newsletter. And I'm glancing through it, and like many men, I'm reading the headlines. You know, I don't often read the fine print. That's just the way it is for me. But and I see this big feature article about Kevin Sorbo, and I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Why is my alma mater highlighting Kevin Sorbo? Of course, I knew you from the Hercules days and the TV show, and as I went on to read the fine print, I'm like, oh, wow, he went to Morehead State University. That's really cool. And then I continue to read, and I go, wait a minute. This guy graduated the same year I graduated. How did I not know this guy, right? And I'm like, this is crazy. So I call one of my old college teammates, college roommates, Al Strandberg. And I don't know if he told you the story or not, Kevin, but I call Al, and I go, Al, I go to – did you know this guy, Kevin Sorbo? And he goes, yeah. He goes, we hung out all the time, you know, and played poker on Friday nights and played golf and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, how come I never met this guy? I can't. And he didn't play football or whatever. He goes, that's easy. You didn't play poker and you didn't play golf, so you weren't invited. I was like, oh, well, thanks, Al. I really appreciate that. But so I was just kind of blown away that we're on the same college campus, but yet our paths never crossed. But I know you had mentioned, I know when we were talking a few weeks ago, you had mentioned how Coach Olson, the defensive coordinator, would try to talk you into football. But anyway, so that's just a little backstory there for my introduction to meeting you.
Well, I lived in the gym constantly. I was lifting weights, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours every day. I was playing hoops every day. We had a great team with some of the other teammates there, with Jeff Wise and John Wiley and Marty Stukup and Al DeRozier. We were all on the same intramural basketball team. I played 1 year of basketball my freshman year, and then I just decided, you know, I was a jock in high school, played football, basketball, baseball, and everything, but I decided in college I just wanted to kind of just lay low. I loved working out. I was still lifting weights heavy. I got up to my Hercules size at 230 pounds
yeah.
by my sophomore year, and I just didn't have the drive anymore. I loved sports. I just didn't have the drive anymore. But I was in the gym, my gosh, constantly. I mean, we were in there all the time. In fact, one year, my senior year, I actually was roommates with Marty and Al DeRozier and those guys. So I had a lot of good memories at Fargo-Moorhead. My oldest brother went to Concordia. He was on a wrestling scholarship up there, actually. He took second in the nation in Concordia in the would they be Division II then, Concordia? What would they be?
Yeah. AIA? Yep. Yeah, they would have been. Yeah, or maybe even NCAA division. They might have declared NCAA, but yeah, they would have been. Yeah, Division II. Of course, we played Concordia Moorhead back in those days on our schedule every year.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
that was the big rival right down the road. Yeah,
it was. And man, you're just even mentioning those names, John Wiley and some of the guys. I'm like. Man, just brings back so many memories. And that's crazy. So you lived with them your senior year. I'm living with Al Strandberg and Michael Ekstrand. And I don't know if you remember.
Oh, sure.
But so just still.
I knew all those guys. You must have been too locked up in just playing football. Or maybe you were studying too hard.
Well, you know what? I think it's a combination of things. Because believe it or not, like, I look back because I wanted to graduate, like, on time, because I was transferred in from Golden Valley Lutheran College, believe it or not. I played JUCO ball there and then transferred in, but not all my credits transferred, so I wanted to graduate on time. So believe it or not, and this was during one of the fall seasons, but in three quarters at Morehead State, I took 23 credits per quarter.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah. I was taking 16 a quarter. That's crazy. You were taking a super full load there because 16 would have been probably what most people were taking.
Yeah, 16 is kind of the average for maybe those of you who didn't know. But I'm like, man, I want to be able to graduate at time and move on and do my thing and so yeah, I took
I gotta tell you, it's so funny because all those names you mentioned, I knew all those guys. I mean, we would go to Eastgate and Trader and Trapper and all those Mix office. I'd be hanging with those guys all the time. I knew you. I saw you around there. I knew your name. I knew your other name that you had.
Oh, yeah. People ask me all the time. They go, "Is that your real name?" I go, "Yeah, it is." And they'll look at me kind of. Some of them look sideways and they'll go, "But is that your birth name?" Because they're like, "You don't sound very Russian." And I'll go, "Well, that's a different answer." I go, "But Nikita Koloff is my legal name." And they go, "Well, what's your other name?" I go, "I can't give you that for free. I got to make you work for that. Buy the book, you know." So, but you see, that just, again, that just blows my mind. Because if you were in the gym that much, and I was as well, because, you know, like you just said, it was a combination of me trying to graduate on time and just, you know, in my studies, but also spent a lot of time in the weight room and consumed with football. I mean, my passion, you know, my desire was to play pro football. And of course, Mark Reed, probably, I know you know that name.
Mark Reed, we get together every summer back in Minnesota. I play golf with Marty and Jeff Wise and John Wiley. We play golf every summer together back in Minnesota.
Well, see, that's just unbelievable. I'm just like, how have we not met really officially, you might say, before now? But that just for me, it just highlights even more of the story. It just makes it that much greater for me.
Well, it's pretty funny. I mean, I was there. I mean, I was, you know, we had a team called GFT, so it was good. Effing team, intramural team, and we went undefeated three straight years in a row.
Oh, God. That's got a good college name to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were three-time intramural champs. And they actually, there was a Thunder Bay, Ontario came down. There's a college up there.
Okay.
That had heard about us. Somehow they'd heard about us. They came down to play. So this was an actual Canadian basketball team that came down to play us in a game on a Saturday afternoon. And we had about 200 people showed up because they made a big deal on campus. We beat these guys 125-75.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that's part of it, too, because I couldn't dribble a ball if my life depended on it, like for real. Like, I was that guy that would, if I took my eyes off the ball, it went somewhere else and I couldn't find it, you know? So, and I remember all those guys, you know, playing basketball and all that. And so, that's just,
that's funny.
It is. It's just amazing to me. And of course, the Dragons, we had some, especially with Reed at quarterback, and then even the following year, we had some pretty decent football teams. I was fortunate to be a part of those. And
no question. I'm going to throw one name at you in Golden Valley. One of my high school buddies played basketballer junior college here at Golden Valley, Dale Wammeldorf. I don't know if you remember that name at all.
I remember the name. So he played for Flip Saunders.
Yeah.
Flip.
In fact, I went to Flip Saunders basketball camp back when I was like ninth and 10th grade. couple weeks on at Gus Davis every year, every summer.
This is even getting more crazy because when Flip graduated from the University of Minnesota, his first coaching job was Golden Valley Lutheran College. And I tell people this too, Kevin. I go, I went to Golden Valley. I go, I didn't go to learn about Jesus because, you know, even though it was a Bible college, because you were one or the other. You were either what we call Bible thumpers or jocks over at Golden Valley, right? And there's only about 500 students max there, and you were one or the other. And it was pretty obvious which one you were. And when Flip came in, man, we hung out. I don't even remember how many games of horse and pig and everything I played with Flip and with security for the basketball team in the winter. And yeah, I remember that. I for sure remember that name. Absolutely, I do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think his next 2 years we went to South Dakota State.
Not only did we end up then on the same college campus, but we really kind of, which is funny too, kind of grew up next door to each other. Mound, Minnesota for you, right?
Yep.
Mound, Minnesota. Yeah. And of course, I started out in Minneapolis, then went out to Robbinsdale High School. And so you're from Mound, Minnesota. And I would like to, you know, as we kind of move beyond our reminiscing about our college days, to I'd like the audience to know a little bit about your family. Of course, I know your bride, you're married to Sam, right? Your bride.
Yep.
And
yep.
And she, boy, she is. She's written some books, and what all is? And of course, I know she's doing some acting with you as well. What all is she doing, Kevin?
Well, she's busy. I'll tell you, she's the best-selling book on Amazon this year. It's called Words for Warriors. And it's pretty much the opposite of Saul Alinsky's book about Rules for Radicals. It's Words for Warriors is really a pro-American book, you know, in the crazy world we're living in right now with all these people living in our country that rather burn our flag, that I think the ignorance and the education system has brainwashed so many people out there. So
right.
He's trying to give people some positive reinforcement about, you know, how to fight back for the cancel culture and the woke world right now, because it's just crazy what we're doing to each other out there. It's just insane. But her main thing is really home education. We've been homeschooling our kids for 11 years now. I got boys 20 and 17. My daughter's 15, and we're just very busy. You know, she travels the world, and her book is called "They're Your Kid," and it's a wonderful book about how to home educate your children, which we need to get to because the COVID. We found out how horrible our public schools really are. I kind of knew how bad they were for a long time, but people finally woke up and stopped, you know, said, hey, we can't just keep using this as a babysitting device for our kids. You know, these kids are just being totally brainwashed in our public education system all through universities right now. It's crazy.
Well, for almost from start to finish, you might say, right? And that is one thing, that positive thing that came out of all that, right, is like you said, is that parents were introduced to the curriculums that were being taught in schools, which they may not have or most likely had not been paying that much attention to, right? So she's got, give the titles of the books again.
Words for Warriors.
Okay.
And the other one is They're Your Kid. We have another book. We have a book that came out together. I wrote a book about 8 years ago called True Strength, and then we wrote a follow up together to that book called True Faith, and that came out this year as well.
And all of those, of course, can be found on Amazon. That's awesome.
Yeah, or they can go to sorbostudios.com. Sorbostudios.com. All kinds of information. My website, my wife's website, we're all put together there. So one stop shopping for people with. And then go with not only books, but, you know, my DVDs, there's all kinds of information on there. Things coming down the pipeline. It's a good place to go.
And we'll make sure everyone knows that at the conclusion of the shows as well. So she's writing books. You got the three children. What are your children's names?
I got Braden, who's the 20-year-old. I got Shane, who's 17. And my daughter's name is Octavia. And my 20-year-old, he just turned 20, has really gotten into lifting weights the last 2 years. I'm 6'3", he's now 6'5", and he's 230 pounds and growing. I mean, he just set a personal best on the deadlift at 495 pounds, and he's got a personal best on the bench at 280, and he'll be well over 300 soon. I mean, this guy's totally into the weightlifting right now.
So he's in a sense, following in Dad's footsteps.
Yeah, I think he's passing me.
He's surpassing Dad. Definitely a 6'5", that's for sure, and already matched sounds like what you weighed back in the Hercules days and back in college. But Kevin, let's talk about if we can just kind of give the audience a snapshot of kind of your spiritual journey. I mean, you mentioned some of the books and homeschooling and doing some of the things you're doing, but at what point were you a believer back in college, or when did that transition happen that that, because you're very outspoken in your faith and your wife, and the world knows that. When did that happen? How did that happen? When did that happen?
Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare here for Crescent Automotive. If buying a car is a nightmare for you, my friends, Brian and Jamie Johnson at Crescent Automotive make it simple to find your pre-owned dream car with no hassle, affordable windshield pricing. No matter where you live, they will get your American dream car to you, baby. DriveCrescent.com is all you need to know. Their whole inventory is right there with the right price. Everybody drives a Crescent. You should too. DriveCrescent.com.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
Well, for me, my spiritual growth happened growing up as a young kid. My parents, typical Minnesota, we were Lutherans, and went to St. John's Church there in Little Mound, Minnesota, on the western shore, Lake Minnetonka, of course. And so it's all sort of been there for me. But there was certainly a point that stayed with me my whole life. When I was 13 years old, we took a big field trip to see the Reverend Billy Graham speak at the St. Paul Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
So it was outside. It was a hot August night, and we were outside. There had to be 300,000 people there. It was unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
Obviously, people that know Reverend Billy Graham, they know he commands quite a crowd. So
right.
For some reason, because I wouldn't normally do this, but when he called up, he said, hey, I got a lot of volunteers up here. If you want to come up and just pray or talk or just hang out, come on up. And for some reason, I just stood up and walked up there. And I got up there and sat in the ground in the grass. I'm talking to this guy. You know, I was 13. This guy was 30, so I thought he was really old, right? So,
right, right.
We're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden a hand went on my head, and I turned around, and it was the Reverend Billy Graham.
Wow.
And that's something you don't forget in your life. And
right.
It was a full moon, and here's the amazing thing. His head was perfectly eclipsing the moon, so all you see was this glow of the moon in a circular, you know, around his head. It was like, you know, you heard the angels go, oh. So,
right.
It was a moment that just stuck with me. And I told that story on the Larry King show. I was on Larry King one time. And then I get a call from Billy Graham's people out of Dallas, his publicity team. And they said, well, the Reverend Graham saw your story and he loves it. And Chicken Soup for the Soul is doing 101 stories on his life. And it's the only time that Chicken Soup for the Soul ever did a hardcover book. It's always been paperback.
Okay.
And they said, would you be one of the 101 stories? I said, I'd be honored. And I did it. And once it was published, they came to me and said, the Reverend would love it if you would go out and do the publicity for him. He can't do it. He's well in his 90s. You know, he's in the last stages. And they said, and I was like, are you kidding me? So they flew me around the country. I did all the talk shows and radio for him for about a week and a half. And it was an honor. It was pretty cool.
That is. I know Mark Victor Hansen has a lot of great Chicken Soup books for many audiences, and that is very, very cool. And so what a memory, though. Man, the Reverend Elazes, you turn around. I'm just kind of getting a visual of that. I hope the rest of the audience got a visual of that full moon, you know, kind of the Reverend Graham standing there. And so you had that encounter that impacted your life, and then what about tell us how'd you meet Sam? Like how did that happen? And
well, when I made the move to L.A. and, you know, went through the grind and all the acting classes, and thank God for commercials, I was one of the lucky ones. I never had to do any other, you know, I never had a bartender bounce to do anything when I got to L.A. I got a lot of commercial work. And when I finally booked the series Hercules, that sent me down to New Zealand. Originally, it was going to be 5 2-hour movies. But by the third movie, Universal Studios called and said, we love this. There's nothing like it on TV. We want to make a series out of it. And I got... pardon the sin of pride here, but by season three, we became the most watched TV show in the world in 176 countries. And
amazing.
My wife came down to guest star in season five, and that's how we met. We met on the set of Hercules, and for me, it was a lightning bolt immediately. And I've always been a huge flirt, so I was working on her right away. So she goes, Kevin, I don't date actors and I don't date guys with long hair. And I said, well, I'm making a pretty good living with the long hair right now. I joked with her, but I wore her down. I wore her down, and we got engaged within 6 months and married a year later. And here we are 23 years later and three kids, and we're still still rocking and rolling it. But that's how we got together.
That's awesome. Well, for those of you listening out there, something to say about persistence, right? Persistence. So you persisted in your pursuit of the damsel. So
I did. She played a princess in that episode.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? Oh no. My gosh, that's awesome. Well, at what point? And like I said at the opening of the show, I mean, oh my gosh, I mean, from movies to television to video games, I mean, there's so much to talk about, which we're going to have to do a part two. But leading up to some of that, let's talk about. At what point, Kevin, did you realize? Did you go to Morehead State University for acting, or you didn't, right?
No, I had a double major in marketing and advertising.
Okay,
but I pursued, you know, lightly a minor in drama. So I would, you know, I would go in these classes and meet and talk and all that kind of stuff with the teachers. And I was always a business minded guy, so I figured. And with a double degree in marketing and advertising, that's what you do when you go out to L.A. If you're an actor, you're marketing and advertising yourself.
Yeah, branding. You're trying to brand yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a buddy of mine that actually played was up in Morehead the first 2 years, too. He was on my quarterback from high school, Mark Muth, and then he transferred to the University of Minnesota. But he was our quarterback on our high school team. But he said, Sorbs, remember, it's called show business, not show. And that was all stuck with me.
Okay.
It is a business. It is a business.
It's good. Know?
And I treated it as such. I mean, I was on top of everything about things that I was right for, and I'd be bugging my agent all the time saying, why am I not on this audition for this? You know, and I remember one agent saying, Kevin, I have 100 other clients. And I said, I don't give a crap about your other clients. Do you think they care about me?
Right.
You know, my mantra was, let me have the opportunity to be rejected. Okay. Let me go in there. Not let you decide if I get a chance to go to something that I'm right for. So, I was diligent, man. I just kept on plugging away. I learned something. I used to caddy at Oak Ridge Country Club. It was a Jewish country club in St. Louis Park.
Yeah.
And I'd meet all these guys. My dad was a school teacher. I'm the fourth of five kids. We didn't have any money, but my parents, I never felt I was without stuff. I knew there was rich kids in my school, you know, that lived on the Lake Minnetonka. But I was never envious of that. That was something. That was a goal for me. And I remember talking to these guys saying, how did you become rich? These guys I'm caddying, how did you become successful? Every single one of them said the same thing. Oh, Kevin, I failed. And then I failed again, and I failed some more.
Mm.
And so I tell people as an actor, I'm a 13-year overnight success. There's a lot of no's in the business, but you got to look at failure and no's as a positive instead of a negative. And I think that's what holds so many people back, that they don't push themselves to have success in their lives. So they sit there and blame God, family, friends of the world. And then they become bitter, and then they become part of Antifa and the woke culture, right?
Mm.
So, to me, it's like you got to fight through things because God never promised an easy life for any of us. So you're always going to have roadblocks in your life, and how do you react to those roadblocks?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I looked at it.
Well, that's a great approach, and really even for our audience, if you take this away today, you know, we're joking about his persistence in pursuit of Sam, but obviously Kevin's persistence in pursuing an acting career and his willingness to fail and or be rejected, if you will, but not take it personal and being an overcomer. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. You were an overcomer. We got just a couple minutes left, and like I said, man, there's so much, and we're gonna bring you back for part two and talk more about your movie career, your television career, some of the other things, and including some of the things the projects you're currently working on, Kevin. And again, what you just said, I hope our listeners really take that to heart, because that is one key. We're not promised. There's a lot of promises, but we still have to go out and work for it, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to. I mean, it's just, I say follow your dreams, as corny as that is, because you hear from everybody. There's a lot of truth in that. And a lot of people give up on their dreams. They get older, and things haven't happened from the way they want. I think a lot of people just become bitter because life didn't turn out the way they were hoping it would turn out. But, as I said, God never promised an easy life for any of us. And we just got to just plug away and make your own happiness. Otherwise, you're just going to be one sad soul for a long time. That's not any way to go through life.
No, it's not. And be encouraged by that. I hope you're encouraged by this conversation that Kevin and I are having today. And we're going to make sure have you tune in for part two, because I know you're going to want to hear not only some of the other things he's accomplished in that persistency, but also some of the current projects that he's working on, and he's got some amazing things coming up here in the future. And let's give one 30-second teaser, Kevin. I know you just wrapped up a movie, right? You just finished a movie.
I did. I finished the Reagan movie with Dennis Quaid. He plays Reagan. I played his pastor in it. It's going to come out next spring. And I'm looking forward to that and see what happens with it. I got one in theaters right now called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. Wonderful family movie. I shot that with Mira Sorvino and Peter Coyote. People can look up those names. They'll recognize a lot of movies that they've done in the past as well. And, I'm fortunate to keep on staying busy. I make myself busy. I have my own production company, and I don't sit around. I love to stay busy. I mean, I hate not working. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, and I want to talk more. I get it. I can relate. It must be the Minnesota upbringing for us. But because that's something I want to talk about when we come back in part two is how receptive, I think our listeners would want to know, is how receptive is the Hollywood world when one's an outspoken Christ follower? So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Hey, listen, I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Kevin Sorbo, a.k.a. Hercules, as well as many, many, many other characters. And as you just heard a little bit of his testimony, a little bit of his story, man, if you don't know Jesus, can I encourage you, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening to this right now, just hit the pause button. Just pause. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but just pause, and I want to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus. And I mean, you won't regret making that decision. There is no promise of tomorrow. Hey, there's no promise of 20 minutes from now. You may slip on a banana peel or choke on a breakfast burrito. So that's the importance of having a relationship with Jesus. Hey, tune in again for part two with Kevin Sorbo, coming back at you very soon.
Men, I would like to challenge each of you to consider spending 5 days with Lex Luger and I at Man Camp, pursuing the heart of God. Ladies, if you're listening, we'll send your men home better equipped to be men of God, godly husbands, and godly fathers. If that appeals to you, give them your blessing and encourage them to sign up today at mancamp.info. Pastors, if you would like to bring Koloff for Christ Ministries and Man Up Conference to your community, go to koloff.org and email me. Remember this, it's time to man up.
We so appreciate our listeners. If you will support this program with a financial gift of any amount, I will send you a personalized copy of my latest book, Nikita, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to koloff.net. That's koloff.net, koloff.net, and make your contribution today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.
Say, what would you do if you were a new Christian and you didn't have a Bible? It's Michael Woolworth, by the way, from Bible League International, and you'd probably say, well, I'd hop in my car, I'd go to a Christian bookstore, or I'd have one shipped to me. What if those weren't options? You'd say, well, I'm new to the faith. I mean, I need to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You know, you would pray that someone, anyone, would bring you a Bible. And that's exactly the way it is for literally millions of Christians around the world. They're part of our spiritual family. They're new to the faith. They want to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But God has them planted where it's very difficult to access a Bible. And that's why the Truth Network and Bible League have teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 Bible-less believers around the globe. Our campaign is called The World Needs the Word. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, every gift matched. Make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at truthnetwork.com.